Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. Australia, more than halfway through its reporting season at the moment. So shall we take a look at BHP Billiton? Dreadful earnings report, posted its first loss in 16 years and axed its dividend by 75%.
Yes, those headline figures don't make for good reading, do they?
No, not at all.
But I guess if the cloud has a silver lining, it was the fact that the market had been bracing itself for a pretty ordinary set of numbers and a big cut to the dividend as well. So the management overall in their outlook was as optimistic as possible, and they tried to be upbeat about the cut to the dividend, saying that they're going to be paying out at least 50% of earnings going forward, and then it's up to the board's discretion as to whether to improve on that each reporting period. So it was interesting because here in Australia we have painted BHP in such a negative light in recent times with all the things that have gone wrong, and obviously commodities across the board continue to pull back significantly. We had priced in oblivion, and although the numbers were horrible, maybe it wasn't quite oblivion. So on the day, believe it or not, after a negative start, they actually finished closed in positive territory. Now, it's important to remember with BHP, it's actually listed in the US and in the UK as well. So we had the first chance to react to the numbers here in Australia. We liked them. The UK and the US thought they're absolutely dreadful and punished the stock down by more than 5%. So interestingly, the BHP now finds itself at a lower price than prior to the release of the figures. So it was sort of a blip on the radar that the shares traded up, and then after they had their time in the sun in the UK and the US, and those traders and investors didn't like the figures, it came back to reality with a little bit of a thud here in Australia. But, you know, this is a once high and mighty stock. I mean, we don't call it the big Australian for nothing. They've made a lot of changes to the business in recent times, but they are still considered by many in Australia to be the backbone or just about of our economy. So, you know, it was a disappointing set of figures, but probably not to be unexpected, and really all the companies in a similar space are having an equally tough time.
So what about those other miners, Ben? What kind of predicament are they in?
Pretty much the same as BHP. I mean, the only real commodity that has been doing any good in recent times has been gold. And, you know, that's because in terms of the macro settings and the macro environment that we find ourselves in, it's working as a store of value. Everything else that's correlated to China, and let's face it, that's pretty much all commodities across the board, are all having a torrid time. And of course, you know, the strengthening US dollar, most commodities are priced in US dollars. So it's almost been a double whammy for some of those commodities. And there really hasn't been any stocks out there in terms of resources-based stocks that have been doing any good really for the longest time, for at least the last 12 months. Now, you know, we're hoping that oil might have formed some sort of a bit of a base or a bottom. We're hoping the same for iron ore, and we're hoping the same for a number of other key commodities. But, you know, looking at the horizon and just trying to get a little bit of a handle on what the settings are going to be moving forward, you know, there's nothing to fill you with too much confidence, unfortunately. I think the China figures are still going to continue to disappoint. I think that the concerns in Europe and in the US are certainly not going to subside anytime soon. So that sort of environment does not suit commodities at all. So I think that that's probably where we're going to see a number of BHP and a number of their peers continue to struggle.
But is that just limited to commodities companies, Ben? It sounds quite sounds like you're risk off generally in the market.
Oh yes, I mean very much so. 2016 has been a poor start to the year, a poor showing. You know, fortune does favour the brave. I would certainly be looking for bargains in the market, like stocks that just get sold down because the rest of the market gets sold down with no individual set of circumstances meaning that they should be marked lower. I mean, they're the kind of opportunities that I'm certainly keeping an eye out for. Unfortunately, when we talk about BHP and its peers, it's probably in sectors outside of the commodities-based ones. Even though, I mean, you know, gold is certainly amongst those in amongst that sector. So, you know, it hasn't all been, you know, raincoats and umbrellas and battening down the hatches. There's been some pretty good performers in that gold sector, not just here in Australia, but right across the globe.
Well, since we're still on the topic of commodities, let's talk about oil, because do you feel that the market is dancing to the oil sector's tune? We saw oil prices dive after the comments from Saudi and Iran on production cuts and freezes. So do you think we're headed for more volatility?
I have absolutely no doubt that the swings and roundabouts of sort of 5 to 10% in the oil price on a nightly basis is probably just part of the reality that we're going to have to embrace and accept in the short term, at least until we stop talking about these false dawns with OPEC maybe cutting production. I mean, Saudi have said, you know, that they're maybe going to look at freezing production, but cutting production, no way. So that's a little bit of a disappointment. But, you know, they're happy to embrace lower for longer, and I think that pretty much every energy major around the world have pretty much been on that message, just saying it's going to be a lower for longer oil price environment. That being said, we would love to see a base being formed, you know, around $30 a barrel for the West Texas intermediate contract, and then, you know, maybe go on into the second half to coincide with some stronger economic data from across the globe, and maybe some of these energy companies starting to go bankrupt, and maybe OPEC coming back to the negotiating table in the second half. We can see a stabilisation or a move higher for oil prices. That's the hope, and that will be ultimately good for equity markets, because they've just been glued to their every move, and you know, they're very very much fretting about the pace of the decline that we've seen in oil markets at this stage.
Ben, I'd also like to take a look at the banking sector, because markets were getting nervous over the financial health of global banks like Deutsche Bank recently. What about Aussie banks, Ben? I mean, should investors be concerned about the health of the Big Four?
Probably not to the same degree. You know, we had JP Morgan only come out a couple of sessions ago and say they have to put more capital aside for, you know, the potential for some of these oil companies defaulting on their loans. So the Big Four here in Australia don't hold as much of the debt as US and European financial institutions do of a lot of these energy majors. So I think that they're quite well insulated at this stage, albeit, you know, a slowing economy. We're very leveraged to China. If we start to see that unemployment rate balloon out, we're going to have to see provisions for bad and doubtful debts start to balloon out as well. So they're almost dancing on a wire at the moment. And it's just going to be intriguing to see how these banks going out later into the year, because their net interest margins are being absolutely throttled in this low interest rate environment, and the competition for mortgages is absolutely red hot. So, it's hard to see. They're not going to be standout stellar growers. They're just going to pay a steady dividend, and they're just going to plod along in terms of growth for the foreseeable future. And that's, to a large degree, all that investors are after, especially, if you're looking for the top echelon companies. So it'll continue to tick a few boxes, but, it'll just be a matter of how many crosses start to emerge in other boxes as to how they perform later in the year.
Always a pleasure speaking with you. That was Ben LeBrand, Market Analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on WeScream for ice cream.
Oh, I want strawberry.
And 4% while you're screaming at the amusement park. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. Now when you and the family go out, you cash in. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.